more convenient is by doing meal prep. And I believe Nikki spoke on that a few weeks or months ago. So that's another topic that you can look up and watch, of just how to make food ahead of time so you have that healthy food in your fridge ready to go. A couple things that I do is in the mornings when I make breakfast, I really like scrambled eggs and adding chicken or veggies in it. And it's kind of a lot of work to get the pan dirty. Maybe I'm just lazy, but I don't love washing dishes a lot. And so what I'll do is I'll just do like 10 to 12 eggs, scramble them, put all the things in, and then I'll have breakfast for my family for the next 4 to 5 days, and I'll just keep it in the fridge and bring it out and warm it up each time. So then that saves me time on meal prepping. Another thing you can do is if you have a recipe for lunch or dinner, you can just double the recipe and then keep the leftovers in the fridge or in the freezer until you're ready to eat it. Next is sugar. So you have kind of two different categories of sugar. You have natural sugar and then added and refined sugar. And natural sugar is sugar that is in its original form, like in fruits or vegetables or milk. This apple has natural sugar in it. And added or refined sugars are sugars that have come from plants, but they've been processed and they've been broken down. So things like white sugar, brown sugar, things that you use for baking. And refined sugar is added to a lot of foods and drinks, and it's really hard to find food from the store, from the inside of the store that's in a box or in a jar that does not have some type of refined sugar in it. So sugar contains very little health benefit, and it can cause and aggravate diseases. It can cause weight gain. We're seeing that especially in the United States with all of the sugar we have, that the obesity in our children and in adults are rising quite significantly compared to in the past. And weight gain contributes to insulin resistance, which leads to diabetes and heart problems in the long term. And also refined sugar causes chronic inflammation. Like I said, you may not feel it right after you eat it, but throughout the years, your body will start to respond to that. And that can worsen and even cause certain autoimmune diseases in your body. So I just wanted to show you guys a food label of something that is could be available in Thailand, just so you can maybe start checking the labels as you're buying food for your family. So the word in Thai for sugar is nam than, and here's the word printed out right here, and then it's probably too small for you to see it, but you can look for it on the food label and then see about how many grams are in that. And I think you'll be surprised that even things that aren't labeled as sweet or sugary, that usually there'll be some type of sugar in it, like mac and cheese, you know, has a lot of sugar. So before you buy something, look at the ingredients label and look for the sugar. Anything over 15 grams is considered very high in added sugar. And so I would aim for 5 grams or less, or even 0 grams. And this doesn't apply if it's like a canned fruit or vegetable. If it says no sugar or no added sugar, then you know there's no added sugar, but there may be some natural sugar that they have to count from that. So just keep that in mind. Okay, here's just a compare and contrast of natural sugar and refined sugar. So you can see on top the natural sugar, it's whole foods. It's fruits that you can find growing in the tree or growing from the ground. And then the refined sugar is things that have been processed or made in a factory. Definitely something you could not recreate at home. So I do just want to share my personal story right now in a nutshell. For most of my adult life, I have dealt with low energy and tiredness, especially after lunch, and have always had like unexplained body aches and joint pain and headaches. And I just thought it was a normal part of like getting older and living such a busy life. And my weight has always fluctuated throughout the years. Since I came into adulthood, sometimes I'd be about 20 pounds overweight. And I usually work out regularly and somewhat intensely, and it was always really hard for me to lose weight. If I even lost 1 pound in a month, that would be amazing. But it just seems like my body really clung on and held on to the weight. I felt uncomfortable, and my body just was not happy. Then 8 months ago, I had an appointment with a chiropractor, of all people, which is a type of bone doctor who kind of adjusts your bones and joints. And I shared my symptoms with them, and that doctor recommended some diet changes. And I was a little worried at first because I have not just one sweet tooth, but I consider all my teeth being sweet. Like, I love ice cream, desserts, and cupcakes, cookies, things like that. However, I decided to try the diet changes. So I cut out processed foods for the most part and refined sugars, and also started incorporating more of the nutrient-dense foods into every single meal. And after about 2 days, I already noticed a difference in my body. I no longer had the body aches and like the joint pain and the headaches. I realized then when I did eat sugar, I would get a headache and the body pain. So that, for me personally, that's what was causing that. And then a few months later, my energy started to come back, and I was able to have more energy in the afternoons to play with my son and to teach him and to go out and do things. And also had just some other health things also improve. And I also, without even trying, was able to lose 20 pounds. I wasn't working out super hard. I was just going on walks at that time, and the weight came off in about 2 months, which really shocked me because I had worked so hard in the past, and just by doing this simple diet change, was able to see those results. And so now I've just decided this is the way I'm going to eat the rest of my life because I feel a lot better, and I'm able to serve my family and to be more involved at church and to serve the community. And when I eat this way, I don't limit what I eat. I don't count calories. I don't restrict my diet. I eat until I'm full, and I feel full a lot faster. And I stay full throughout the day, so that helps me not to be hungry for snacks as often as well. And like I said before, the most important change for me is my lifestyle change, is that I have more energy. And so even though it was a really hard change to make at first, for me it was worth it because I feel I have my life back. So the next topic we're going to talk about is hydration. So an adult body is about 70% made up of fluids and water. So we need water to live. It's very important. If you or your children are dehydrated, it can lead to behavioral changes. So you might be seeing more meltdowns, more whining. They might be feeling more tired and not really wanting to play. And so it's important to just be ahead of that and kind of be preventative and just hydrate and drink water throughout the day. By the time you're feeling thirsty, the urge of thirst has come upon you, you're already dehydrated, and your brain has lost 10% of its ability to function, which I think is wild and just gives even more importance of why we need to stay hydrated. So one tip is you could set a reminder for you and your kids to drink about every 2 hours. And also, you can check the color of your urine. So if you are very dehydrated, your urine will be the dark yellow. And then as you get more and more hydrated, your urine will start to turn clear. So it's the clear urine that we're aiming for. Here is water intake recommendations. You can look for the age of your kids and see about how many cups they should be getting each day. But you can also judge it by the urine color. So if you don't feel like measuring it out, there's kind of two different ways you can measure it. And hydration tips, I kind of zoomed in the next slide so you could see, is to brew hot tea together. My son loves tea. Whenever I make some for myself, he wants some. I always make sure it's caffeine-free. You could add some cut-up fruit to your water. You could buy special water bottles that you all look forward to using. This is the one my son loves to use. So what I like about it is that it's clear and it has animals on it and some stickers of some soccer players that he put. But what I'll say is when we're eating a meal or reading a book together, I'll challenge him and I'll say, okay, I want you to drink to the elephant's trunk, or I want you to drink the water until it gets all the way down and tickles the tiger's toes. And so then that kind of gives him an aim and a goal to drink to. And he finds it fun most of the time. You could have a friendly drinking competition, especially with boys who are competitive. This is a fun one. Only offer water as beverages with meals is another way. Limit buying other drink options for the home. A lot of the juice boxes or juices that come in cartons, if you look on their nutrition label and you, since now you know how to read the tie, you can see those do have a lot of added sugars in it, and they aren't as hydrating for kids. So I recommend using those very few and far between. Use them sparingly. And in our house, we just do water and milk, and sparkling water also is a fun option for kids. They might call it spicy water because it feels funny since it's carbonated. You can, yeah, like I said, set reminders to hydrate, set a little alarm or maybe a little song that can go off. Take water bottles along with you in car rides, or if you're going to be out for a long time doing activities, make sure you have some water. You can also get fun ice cube trays or straws. They have the little swirly straws that especially toddlers love to drink from. Okay, and now we're going to go into the next section, which is nutrition by age. Nutrition starts in the womb or before. So even women who aren't pregnant yet, but they want to get pregnant, they can actually get their bodies ready by following these tips. So the first tip is to eat from all five food groups every day if you can. So those five food groups are meat, fruit, vegetables, whole grains, and dairy. And we'll have a picture on that in just a minute. The second piece of advice is to drink a lot of water, like we talked about 4 water bottles a day to stay hydrated. Low mercury fish, such as shrimp, tuna, and salmon, are going to be a really good nutrient-dense food to eat in pregnancy or before you're wanting to get pregnant to really get those vitamins and minerals stores up in your body. And also food prep. We really want to avoid germs, especially in pregnancy, to keep you and your baby safe. And here's just an example of the 5 different food groups. I have this in bookmark form, but that's the one thing I forgot to bring with my supplies today, so I'll maybe bring them at church on this or next Sunday for you guys to just keep as a little reminder of what the 5 food groups are. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about how to get the germs off of your food. So here I have a bowl of water and an apple. So you can do this with any fruit or vegetable. Before you cut it, it's important to wash it. So the most basic form is just to get it wet with some water, take a sponge or a clean cloth, and just rub it. And that's going to get a lot of the dirt off, the germs. If there was any pesticides sprayed on it, it'll help get some of those off too. And then you want to rinse it off. Under running water would be best because then you're getting fresh water. And then the last step is just to dry it really good with a clean towel or a paper towel. And then it's ready to eat. So it can be very basic. I know they do sell some washes at the store, like at Rimping or Macro, that you can use to wash your fruits and vegetables with. And that's a fine way too, but this is free. So that's a good way I recommend. Also, if you are any food, you could also add some vinegar to a bowl full of water. I usually just do a little swig like that. Or you can use baking soda, and that will help to clean your food as well. And I like to soak grapes and blueberries in vinegar water for about 20 minutes, and then I dry them out. I'll put the fan on them so it dries extra fast. And I've had those last in the fridge for up to 2 weeks where they're still crispy and they don't have any of the bacteria or fungus on them that causes them to get soft or grow mold. So, that's one way to kind of keep it fresh if you aren't eating it as fast as you thought. Secondly, I want to talk about raw meat. And again, this I know is the pregnancy section, but this is good for all ages, and just kind of a general tip is raw meat has a possibility of containing germs like salmonella that could give you diarrhea or can cause more serious health problems for you or your children or your baby in the womb. And so it's important if you're handling meat with your hands that right after you wash your hands. And even think about if you have the meat germs or gunk on your hands and you're like pushing on the soap, or if you're turning on the faucet, that you also need to wash those things as well afterwards. Or whatever the meat touches, you want to make sure you wash that with warm or hot water and soap to be able to not transfer those germs to other foods that you might be preparing later. So when you're pregnant, there's some things you want to avoid. You want to avoid fish that is high in mercury, and there's some examples up there. You want to avoid alcohol, drugs, including smoking cigarettes and cannabis. Avoid sugary drinks and limit your caffeine to about 1 to 2 cups per day. You don't have to completely cut caffeine out, which I know is good news for some coffee drinkers. I'm more of a tea person, so it doesn't affect me that much. Okay, and the last thing about pregnancy I want to mention is the importance of being on a prenatal vitamin. If you're the kind of person that likes to or can possibly plan ahead, start taking this about 3 months before trying to get pregnant. You want to make sure that your vitamins have about 400 micrograms of folic acid minimum, because that helps with the baby's development, especially their spine and it helps prevent neural tube defects. And you can get prenatal vitamins from your doctor, from the pharmacy here, or even from like a doctor's prescription, or just from a like health store. Okay, moving on to infants. So in the first few months of life, infants are drinking milk. Either they're fed directly by, they're breastfed, or they're being fed by breast pump from a bottle, or they're drinking formula. And some signs to look for to see if they're ready to start moving on to solid foods, which is usually between 4 to 6 months, is that they can sit up with some help or support from a chair, but their ab muscles are getting stronger and they have good control of their head and neck. So they can hold their head up, and that means they'll be able to swallow the food much easier. And if they're starting to put toys or their hands in their mouth, that's a good sign. And if they're interested in food, especially your food, if they're leaning forward when you have food or almost like opening their mouth, trying to eat it, when it's time to eat, that's a sign that you are ready to start feeding them some solids. So when you start solids, you want to first start with one ingredient food, such as kind of the most popular one would be a mashed up banana. It has a lot of good nutrients in it for baby and has already a pretty soft texture. So when you mash that up, it's usually a pretty favorite food for infants. And you want to introduce one new food every few days. You don't want to do them all on one day, because then if your child has a food allergy, you won't know which food it is. So that's why we like to space out the new foods every few days. And if your child, after they eat a new food, is getting like a really itchy and red skin rash, or having swollen lips or face, if they're vomiting, having diarrhea, or trouble breathing, those are signs that you need to call your doctor or go to the hospital immediately, because they could have a food allergy. So after they're getting used to the simple foods, you could try 2-ingredient foods like yogurt with a mashed up banana. And then by 8 to 12 months of age, they're starting to feed themselves with their hands. You could give them like a little spoon to use. And one important thing to remember is to always supervise eating time, because at this age especially, they are a choking hazard. So you just want to keep an eye on that, make sure they're breathing. And a sign of not choking would be if they like aren't making any noises, or they're starting to move around. So you just want to make sure that their airway is open and that there's always sound or like breath sounds coming out. Okay, in the next picture, I just want you guys to notice a few things about this picture. So this baby is feeding themselves with their spoon, or at least they're attempting to, and they're kind of getting it all over, but you can see maybe some of it got in the mouth, and they're definitely feeling the food texture with their hands and probably feeling it on their face a little bit too. You can see the mom's hands in there, so mom is close by. She's supervising. And this is just a really good picture because it's showing that touch and playing with food is really good, because it's just getting them more exposed to it, which will help them be more willing to eat different kinds of food in the future. I combined the toddler and school age section because I think they overlap pretty well. And even some of these next things you could use as they get older into their teen years, even some of these things I do as an adult to make eating more fun. So usually around age 2 is when kids are ready to eat the same diet as an adult. You want to modify the diet, though, to prevent choking. So you don't want to be giving whole grapes or whole tomatoes. You want to cut them up into smaller pieces so they don't get stuck in the windpipe. And if your child does start to choke, Alyssa talked in the first aid class about how to do first aid. So I recommend going back and watching that part. And you don't want to give them a whole plate, same as yours. You definitely want to give them smaller portions. And a couple things to expect. Expect them to be playing with food at this age and expect picky eating, because even if they liked something when they were a baby, they might change their mind about it as they're in this toddler stage. So don't be discouraged about that. I'll have some tips on that in a couple minutes. So next I want to share some pictures about how to make food fun with this age group. So here's a picture in our homeschool. We homeschool with another family, and we were studying weather, and we were studying rain, and so Noah's Ark was the theme for the day. And so for snack time, we had, you know, the little animal crackers, and we stuck them on with some peanut butter on a banana, and that was snack time for that day. And in the next slide, we had a little under the water theme, so we made like a crab sandwich, and that's chicken salad in there, and his claws are bell peppers that are cut up. And it might not look super appetizing, but I think we added a couple drops of some food dye to like some noodles, kind of like a mac and cheese, and that was for the ocean. And then in the next picture, that's a piece of toast that has been cut into the shape of an elephant to make it more fun. And so I have a bunch of different cookie cutters up here. So cookie cutters are just a good way to change things up from that dull square shape that sandwiches usually are. So I have a star, butterfly, turtle, and person. And you can find these off Lazada or probably Mr. DIY as well. And you can do that for sandwiches. You can, if you get smaller ones, you can even cut out fruit. And it just makes another way to make food a little bit more fun. Okay, this, my son Wynn, who's in the middle, is with his cousins, and they read a book called Blue Makes Breakfast. And in that book, there was a recipe to make banana muffins. So if you involve your kids in the food preparation process or in baking or in cooking, they will be more likely to try that food since they've seen it and they know what's in it. And they want to try what they've made. You know, it's kind of a cool experiment for them. And so anytime you can bring in books, books can really help kids just know the names of food. So I have a book here. You can even use this with your babies, with your infants, but you can just go over like the names of food, like banana, broccoli, cheese, orange, and then when they see those things, you know, it'll be more familiar because they've seen them in a book, and they'll be more likely to try it. And yeah, there's tons of different books. This one is Curious George and the Pizza Party, so you could read them a book and then have them go make pizzas. This book is In the Beginning, which is just a story of creation. So there's a couple ways you can just get creative. You know, when God made the land and the plants, you could talk about all the different fruit that and vegetables that grow from the ground. And then when it talks about Adam and Eve and the fall and how they ate the fruit, even the Bible doesn't say exactly what fruit it is, you can, you know, use an apple or some type of fruit and then kind of reenact it with that. And I have, yeah, so many books. This is a book on carrots. You could eat carrots while you read this or afterwards. Have a book on gardening. And so you guys can come up and look at these books later. But those are a few examples. Another way that we use books in our house is we like to read to Lynn as he's finishing up his meals. Because my son is a slow eater. And he usually eats a little bit while we're all eating as a family. And then once my husband and I are finished eating, he wants to be done immediately and wants to play, even if he hasn't really eaten until he's felt full. And then if he does that, about 10 minutes later, he's complaining about feeling hungry and wanting more food. So to kind of combat that and to help him eat until he's full, once my husband and I are done, or whoever finishes first, we'll just get out a book to read to him. And what we'll do is, you know, we'll read him the first page, and then we'll just say, oh no, like the next page is stuck. And then the only way he can unlock it is to take another bite of food. And so that kind of gets him eating and until he's feeling full. And then he's also getting the reward of seeing what's on the next page. Cause yeah, it's a cliffhanger, some books. One thing that you want to do is to definitely avoid screens while your child is eating. So screens, it's been researched and studied quite a lot by now that they can contribute to children overeating and being really distracted, and that has led to weight gain and children being overweight. And so screens, they do more harm than good for a child's brain, and especially if they're used during mealtime. So I recommend if your child does watch screens to put it away when there's food and just have it be as in a distraction-free environment. This is a picture of my son with my grandma. So his great-grandma went to go visit them in the States. They live in Maine, and he wanted to help her bake an apple pie. So she let him help her with, like, putting the apples in and arranging them and then even rolling out the dough that goes on top. So this is not only good for, like, your family relationship, and for them learning how to cook and bake, but even when at this age, when he's like hanging onto the roller and rolling it, that's developing his strength muscles in his hands and coordination. And so, yeah, any way you can get them involved, do it. Here's a picture we talked about building your own pizzas. You could do like pizza monsters, have them use olive for the eyes and have them make their own designs. This is always really exciting for kids. We do this with our friends occasionally. And the picture on the right is actually at a restaurant that's off Canal Road. It's called Amataros. And if you call ahead, they will let you come early, like around 4:45, and the kids can just go back there. You can tell them what you want to order, pay for it, and then the kids can go and make it with the chefs. And that's really fun for them to do too. All right, for this next page, I want to volunteer. Can someone raise their hand and volunteer? Who's maybe not holding a baby? Queenie, thanks for volunteering. Can you come up, please? I just want you to sit in this chair over here. Thank you. Okay, I don't know. I probably for the live stream you can't see, but I have my friend Queenie. She's sitting on a stack of about 7 chairs. And her feet are dangling, and she's just going to sit there for a little bit while I talk about this slide. So I'm going to talk about high chair ergonomics. So ergonomics is the best way that a chair can support a person's body for the job that they are doing. And so in this case, it's eating. And as you can see in the picture on the left, we had our friends' kids over, and I gave them probably too much rice. Most of it ended up on the floor. But she's in a high chair, and you see her feet kind of dangling, just like Queenie's are dangling. And then on the picture of the right, on the right is a picture of my son in a high chair that has a little slot for his feet to rest on. And so I just want to say, how are you feeling right now, Queenie? It's easy to eat. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you're touching on a few things that I'll get to in the next slide. So how would you feel if you had to have your feet dangling for about 30 or 40 minutes? Yeah, she said maybe a little bit tired. Maybe your kid might be wiggling a lot or trying to get out of the chair. And so the next picture shows kind of the proper seating for a child that you want their high chair to be. So as you can see, their feet are fully supported, and then they're sitting down and their knees are able to be at a 90 degree angle. And also their back, they have a nice backrest. And the last thing is they're able to reach the food that's in front of them. So those are a few of the things to just keep in mind as you are looking for high chairs, or if you have a high chair and it doesn't have the footstool, you could find something like a piece of wood that you sand down or a piece of plastic PVC pipe, and you could try to attach it to where their feet would go to have them rest on it. Thank you, Queenie. You can go sit in your regular chair. Thanks for demonstrating. Okay, and another way you can get your kid involved is to use these little kids' knives. I get these at IKEA. You could probably get them at like Big C or Lotus and have them cut up soft foods like bananas or watermelon. And my son, every time I'm cutting up a watermelon, he asks if he can help because he just loves cutting them up. Just another fun thing you can use too, I have these little toothpicks that are in the shapes of animals, which I bought pretty cheap off Lazada. You can come and take a picture of them and scan it if you're interested in getting some for yourself. But if you have little berries or little pieces of chicken, sometimes it just makes it more interesting for kids if they have a different utensil other than their fingers or a fork to pick it up with. Okay, here we're doing apple slices on peanut butter, and then in the other picture, my son is pouring like mango. He's measuring out the mango. So again, that's good for their motor strength as well and their coordination. And here's a picture when my son was 3. He was helping me do the blender. And then by the time he was 4, he was strong enough and had practiced enough he could do it on his own. All right. So next I want to talk a little bit about picky eaters. Like I mentioned previously, you want to involve them in the food preparation process and also in the food shopping process. So if you are able to take them with you shopping, maybe on the weekend or after school hours or early in the morning, so that they can see where the food comes from, you can even give them their own little grocery list of like a few things off your list. And if they can't read yet, you can either read it for them, or maybe you could draw a picture of like a carrot, a potato, things like that. And then it's their job to find those foods and to pick them out and to get them weighed and to put them in the cart. And this just gives them ownership over the food process and makes them more likely to eat the food if they've seen where it has come from. In this picture, we were doing a red food taste test. So we had bought some apples, tomatoes, red bell pepper, strawberries, and in his cup is tomato juice. And we just kind of both ate our plates and decided what foods did we like, what foods didn't we like. And just one phrase that I like to use with kids, if they say, I don't like it, I'll just add a yet to it. I'll say, you don't like it yet. Because that's true. Our taste buds do change throughout the years, and even like within a few months they can change. So they may try something later down the road and they may like it. So we want them to know to expect that that they may not like broccoli. I really did not like broccoli when I was a kid, and then now as an adult I love it. This is probably one of the most important slides, and children and teens who share meals with their family have better health outcomes. So not only is it important to their physical health and nutritional needs, but it's important for their mental, emotional, and social needs. So not only are they seeing what foods you're eating and seeing that you're also eating the same foods that they are, but they're hearing the conversation at the dinner table. They're learning how to talk, how to listen, how to answer questions. So all of that is important for your child's development, even up until their teenage years. And so at this age, the children, when you're a toddler school age, they should be eating the same food as the rest of the family, just smaller portion sizes. And parents should model a healthy diet too. That's our job, because children, they learn by watching you. And I'm sure you've heard of the phrase, more is caught than taught. Another tip for picky eaters is to simplify the plate. So you can see in the picture, I'll start with the picture on the right. It's overwhelming. The portions are too large. It's almost like overflowing on the plate. The food is overlapping and it's mixing. There's way too many choices, and there's various colors and textures of the food. So more appropriate for the toddler is a plate that has smaller portions on it, so you can actually see more of the blue plate underneath it. You want to introduce maybe just one new piece of food each meal. And so in this case, it was the tomato. And you want to have more preferred food than new food or food that you know they might not like. And so for our son, he loves rice. So if we serve anything with rice, he will for sure eat that. And just here's another example. When kids are less visually overwhelmed, they're actually more likely to eat food because their brains will be a little bit calmer. And plus, if you give them less food, you waste less food if they don't eat it. So that's also another tip. And this next slide, I just thought looked good. Like even me just looking at it, I'm wondering like, oh, I wonder what it tastes like with the taquito dipped in the bean mix with a bite of rice. And it's just looks very simple and appetizing. This is taken from an Instagram account, which I will have in a few slides, called Feeding Littles. And they teach that it can sometimes take 15 to 20 exposures to a new food until a child actually wants to try it and put it in their mouth. So if a child is even just touching or playing with a new food, that counts as a positive food exposure. So that counts as a win. You want to keep offering the food, even if they don't eat it, even if they say they don't like it. Keep putting it on their plate. Don't give up. Be patient. One day they will say yes, and we've definitely seen this in our house as well. So kids are drawn to novelty, and they love mastering something new. And anything that's silly, they're going to want to try. So try giving your kids rice or some scrambled eggs and giving them this huge spoon to eat with and just see what they do and just act like it's normal. Just say, okay, here's your spoon and see what happens. Some other tricks for picky eaters is just to make food time really fun and playful. So one thing that we do in our house, we have this like tractor. It's actually a set. It comes with a spoon, a fork, and I don't know what this called. It's like a little bulldozer. And the fork, his name is Tractor, and he has a whole backstory and a whole personality. And his backstory is that his best friends are broccoli and chicken. So he likes to pick up the broccoli and chicken and play with them and zoom around with them. But then he gets really tired from the day, and he has to take a nap right on Wynn's plate. And he's going to go to sleep and snore and everything. And then suddenly he wakes up and his friends are gone and he's wondering where his friends are. And he has a whole voice too. And he says, where's my broccoli? I need my friends. No. And then Wynn is sitting there chewing and Tractor saying, where is my friends? Where did they go? Did you eat them? Did you eat them? And you can kind of question everyone at the table and it just cracks everyone up. And, it's just a fun way, and Wynn has eaten all kinds of different foods, zucchini, broccoli, cauliflower, things I didn't think kids would usually eat, because Tractor doesn't want the monster, which is Wynn, to eat it. So that's just something fun that we do in our family. And here's just a resource I want to share. It's where a lot of my slides from the picky eaters has come from. And this account just has a ton of posts for nutrition for your kids. It's called Feeding Littles. And the people who run it, one lady is a registered dietitian nutritionist, and the other is an occupational therapist who has a feeding specialist. And so on their website, if you're interested in this topic or if you have an extremely picky eater, I recommend to go through their account, watch all the videos that you can. And if you want more, on their website, they have like an online class that is for purchase if you want to go more in depth. Moving right along to adolescent, to those fun teen years. So it's really important in these years that your kids get consistent meals. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. Eating a good breakfast especially helps teens to stay awake and have energy for school and for tests. If they don't eat breakfast, that can lead to them just feeling really lethargic and tired throughout the day until lunchtime, and they can get brain fog, which definitely does not help if you're working on a project or trying to listen and pay attention in class. Yeah, so it's kind of like in the same way that not eating nutritious foods for toddlers, how they can get behavioral changes, that's the same thing for teenagers, except it's more they start to lose focus, and you may even see some behavioral issues in them as well. So definitely don't skip breakfast. In this age group, it's also important to encourage them to eat healthy snacks. Like I said, it's so easy just to throw a bag of chips in your backpack and to go and eat that, you know, at school or at a friend's house. But some healthy snacking alternatives are things like cheese and fruit, a hard-boiled egg with veggies, avocado toast. You could cut up some veggies with hummus dip, do sliced apples with peanut butter, any type of nut butters, and yogurt with granola and fruit. And I'm not really going too much into recipes or meals because I know we've had some other people speak on those, so you can go back and watch those. Also, it's really easy just to Google search like nutritious snacks for a toddler or whatever age kid you have. Especially Pinterest is a good resource and they have a lot of pictures. So fast food is usually a very cheap, an easy and fast option. It's available late into the evenings, often when teens like to hang out. I personally ate a lot of Taco Bell back in the States when I was a teenager. I haven't been to the new one here yet that they just opened up in Chiang Mai by the Moat. I do just want to bring up one interesting fact that my friend told me recently, and the word for fast food in Thai is ahan kaya, which translates into trash food or garbage food. And I just think the Thai people have it right on. And maybe if we used that word, America wouldn't have the obesity crisis that it has. So basically anything you get at a fast food restaurant is going to be in that ultra processed category unless you order water with ice. So my advice for fast food is to limit it as much as you possibly can for you and your family and to plan ahead. So if you are going on a road trip, pack a lunch in a cooler. Or if you know your friends are going out to eat and they like to eat fast food, plan ahead by eating like a substantial snack or a meal before you go so then you don't have to eat as much when you go out with them. So family-based meals are especially important in this teenage year. Which might be hard with sports and all the activities that kids have. You want to avoid dieting at this age. So diets can lead to body image issues and eating disorders such as anorexia or bulimia. And it's really not healthy for growing bodies. You really need all those five food groups, especially in this age group, for them to continue and complete their development. And a lot of times, if teenagers go on these diets, they're really not effective. And it often, when they stop the diet, it results in unwanted weight gain. And a lot of times when I talk to my friends or their kids who are teenagers, I say, you know, if you're looking to eat healthier, a good way is just to do a lifestyle change. Do something that you want to keep up for the rest of your life instead of doing, you know, these diets for a few months. So if you can consistently take out fast food from your diet, do that. Or take out processed food, do that. And instead of diets, it's important for you to again, model the healthy eating those nutrient-dense foods for your teens, and including them in the process of cooking and baking, and to talk about it. Talk about how, you know, oh, this food, when I eat squash with my meal, I feel really like strong afterwards. Like it gives me good energy. Or these carrots, they really help with good eyesight and help with concentration. So talk about with them the benefits of these more nutrient dense foods. Okay, here's some recommended resources I have if you want to go down the same research road that I've been on. So here's something to watch, to read, and to listen to. So the first thing on the left is a YouTube channel called Clean and Delicious. She's also on Instagram and some other places, but she just has some really good recipes that use the nutrient-dense food to create some really good-tasting meals and even some desserts that use like honey or some alternative form of sweeteners. The next is Nourishing Traditions. So I actually haven't read this book yet, but I have it. Someone ordered it for me, and it's going to come back. Someone's bringing it back from the States. But I've heard the author interviewed, and I've heard lots of people interviewed about this book. And so this would be a very interesting book. We can read it together. You can borrow it after I'm done as well. And the last is a podcast, and it's called I'm a High Schooler Taking on Big Food and Its Connection to Cancer, which I think it's really interesting. This high schooler did a project about how the processed foods and the sugars that we eat, especially in the U.S., are leading to all of these health conditions, and especially it's linked to cancer, because we are seeing cancer, especially in the younger generation, more now than we ever had before in the past. And she even made a documentary called Cancer, a Foodborne Illness, about processed food and sugar's connections to health problems like cancer and diabetes and how to use food as medicine. And so I think that podcast could even be something you could listen to with your teen or send it to them since it's a teenager that's being interviewed. So this is a lot of information, and just like the toddler's plate that was overflowing with food, I know this could be overflowing your brains right now. So what I want to do now is we're in a little bit going to go into a time of discussion, so some of you can maybe combine tables so you can sit with other people. But what I want you to do is just to pick one simple change that you can make for you and your family. The three things that we had in the beginning of the presentation is to eat more nutrient-dense foods, to limit or eliminate processed food and sugar, to drink more water, and then I'm going to add a fourth one just because I think it's just as important, if not the most important one, is to prioritize family mealtime, so everyone eating together as a family. So you could either pick a change that I mentioned, such as having a build-your-own pizza night with your family, or you could go out and buy like a really cool water bottle to help with the hydration. Or you could, the next time you go shopping, try shopping and taking your cart around the perimeter of the grocery aisles first. So you could take one of the changes that I mentioned, or you can be creative and come up with your own, and I will be really interested to hear what you guys come up with. And after you guys have some time to discuss before you leave, behind Carmen, who's doing the translation in the back, there's a table that has some food on it, and it's a trail mix bar. So there's some bags, and you can take a scoop or two of each of the, there's like nuts and seeds and dried fruit. You can make a little bag for you and your kids to take home. And yeah, I hope you enjoy that. And thank you so much for letting me share today. And I do just want to mention one last thing. So in the Women's Bible Study, the last one we did was about the coming of Christ. And just as we look forward to heaven, the new earth, this topic won't be relevant because we will have the perfect bodies that God gave us. We won't have sin in the world. There won't be any diseases for us to try to prevent or to try to heal. And so just carry that hope with you today that this whole nutrition topic is a temporary topic for right now for this earth. But one day when we're with Jesus, we won't have to worry about that because we'll just be worshiping and praising him all together. So yeah, thank you for letting me share.